Are you ready?
A Shot of Wrestling, episode 352. And wait, we go.
Break some damn shot, boy. Is that the message you got? We about to go live, but you're ready to rock. So take a shot. Oh, so take a shot. Oh, yeah. I'm a street breaker. I'm a heartbreaker. This is my dawn. I'm a bone breaker. Strict plan, ain't your boy about to seek and destroy. It's an SOW. Let me hear you make noise. Take a shot, boy. Is that the message you got? We about to go live, but you're ready to rock. So take a shot.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of A Shot of Wrestling. I'm your host, at Michael J. Putty, joined once again by the one and only, thank God, Marcus Davenport Schwann. Marcus, what's going on, buddy? How you been?
What does that mean, thank God?
The only one of you, buddy. The only one of you.
Damn right. Damn right.
Let's give people a little background on Mark Schwann, a little insight behind the curtain. As everybody knows, you consider me your best friend. And like you always cease to amaze me. You never cease to amaze me, I should say. I break the news to you today that a daughter.
Oh, no, you. I knew it. I told my wife. You know,
a mother and the future queen of England was diagnosed with cancer. And the first thing Mark Schwann does is make it about himself.
Oh, I called it. I called it. I knew it.
Dude, come on. Some respect to the future queen of England. No, she's going to get you money someday.
You know what? You're right. That was bad on my part. But, like, I feel like there's more at play here with why this was, like, kind of wrapped up. I did see the video, actually, after the fact. And I do understand why Kate said what she said. I mean, like, I really felt for her when she was saying, like, you know, they need this time to, you know, explain to their kids. That definitely got me.
Of course, you're a father, those of you who don't know.
Thank you for reminding
our
audience.
Beautiful two-year-old. Almost two-year-old, right?
Almost two. Planning that birthday. That definitely got to me. But, like, I can't help but think, like, you know, we know how Charles is, King Charles is. Like, the dude definitely didn't want to be upstaged. I think that was a part of it. They kept that quiet because of it. I can't help but think it.
No, I read today that they were going to make a royal announcement at 2 p.m. our time. And that's why I texted you right away. And, like, all right, we're getting the news finally.
Yeah.
I'm like, all right, somebody said to me that it's probably because he had cancer. And I couldn't think, but it was you. You think you were spot on there. I mean, that's the only explanation I could think of. I don't think they thought the public would blow up as much as they did about her quote-unquote disappearance. And then they had gun to their head. They had no choice. Thankfully, it wasn't the divorce. He wasn't cheating that we know of. And I told you, if they were divorced, they're fucked. She's the most popular member of that family now. Active member of that family. I think Megan's still popular.
Active is the key word there, yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I don't think she has cancer, right? They think they removed it, but they're preventing it from growing.
It was kind of vague, right? And just like King Charles' cancer, kind of vague. They acknowledge the fact that, yes, this happened.
They're not being vague. They're just not telling anything. He just has cancer, that's it.
Right, exactly. We don't know anything about either one of them, really. I mean, it sounds like she seems like she's doing well, thank God.
Yeah.
You know, she looked good. But it seems like the treatment was already in process, right?
Yeah, correct.
So so she's still ongoing with treatment?
I believe so.
It's not like she's in the clear yet, but I mean, she looks good. She seems like she has a fighting spirit up, and you know, we can only hope for the best for both of them, right? For King Charles and for Princess Catherine. Is it called? No, Princess Kate, right?
Catherine. I went in for a routine endoscopy 4 years ago, 2020, and they found something. They took a biopsy of it, and it came back precancerous.
Mm-hmm.
So. But there was no cause for concern. And then once they removed it, they did the biopsy, they thought there was actual cancer actually growing already. Thankfully, it was super early. I didn't have to go through anything she was going through. But yeah, it just takes a simple procedure for them to find anything. And God bless, whatever procedure she did have, they found something. And it seems like very early enough.
And like, not only did she like, so she had cancer, but she had to like recover from her surgery first before she could even start treatment. So there was a lot that was going on. And then again, like, you know, having to explain to the kids and how to deal with this, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, yeah, it's definitely understandable why the absence, but man, like, I don't know. Like,
but also, the cynic like, in me,
I can't help but think about the whole King Charles factor.
But
I can't
also,
help
like,
but
who
think
cares?
That.
Like she, like she, I don't understand. She's a princess, and she has to be in the public eye. But if she disappears for like 2 months, like why is everybody panicking?
It's the royal family,
I know,
man.
I
mean, like
I
that,
know,
that's just, that's the thing.
Well, shut the fuck up. Let her do her thing. You do. It had to be something serious.
I mean, like, hey. With that being said, shut the fuck up about a lot of different things, right? Like,
yeah,
but
everything.
No, yeah, like. Meghan did anything wrong, like they couldn't shut the fuck up about it.
I love that.
So, I know you do.
Read that book. Read that book, ladies and gentlemen. Read that book.
Spare.
Another fun fact about Mark Schwann that you may not know, me and him could probably spend the next hour and a half talking about the royal family. but I think we are way over time on our intro chat. So how about Marcus? What was trending this week?
All right, buddy. Let's start off with AJ Lee. She made her rounds in the news with a comment that she made on SE Scoops. WrestleMania.com at WrestleMania. I told you to get it right one day.
Never get it right.
Lamia? Damn it! Son of a bitch! I was so confident. Anywho, AJ Lee reportedly wants a memorable return rather than a one-time appearance. So, everyone's getting hyped up about possible AJ Lee return here, Putty. It does make me wonder, though, what would a memorable return look like for AJ Lee?
Anything, right?
Anything.
It just seems like everybody's so hard up for this woman to come back. God forbid she leaves on her own terms. God forbid she wants to start a family. She left on her own terms, but everyone wants her back. It's like Princess Kate situation. Everyone needs her in their lives. What's going on with AJ Lee? The Princess Kate of the WWE, apparently. But any return, I guess, is going to be impactful because everyone wants her back. Just give her a little taste. Everyone's going to eat it up. You have Cora J saying she's an inspiration. You have other superstars saying she's an inspiration and a role model to them. You could easily bring her back in and start a feud with one of those girls. Or like much like they did with Trish Stratus, pairing her up with Becky Lynch and then turning on her. There's always dark.
That's what I was kind of thinking, yeah.
So there's so many ways they can go with this. I can't think of a name off the top of my hat that would be
Roxanne,
of the,
even?
Of course. Memorable, like, oh my God, this is so amazing. I think whoever you pair her with, the crowd's going to fucking go nuts, and it'll be memorable for everybody.
Yeah, so, like, it's interesting to say it's not a one-off thing. So, like, she wants to make a count, right? Kind of like when The Rock was talking about how he would come back and face Roman Reigns at WrestleMania. He wants to do something memorable. He actually wanted to go next level and make it historic, right? So kudos to her, like, you know, trying to think like long term here about like, you know, what can make this like a really good run. So it sounds like something may be at play here. I think honestly, the chance of AJ Lee coming back to WWE, I think are greater than ever right now. I think it's just a matter of time before they figure something out that like, all right, let's do this. And you're right. I think the fans would eat it up. Because, like, yeah, there are different ways it can go. I mean, I know CM Punk is getting really friendly in the NXT locker room. The two girls who mentioned, Cora Jade and Roxanne, you know, that AJ Lee coming back would put them next level rivalry with any one of them. So you can definitely see that because that's where AJ Lee started off, NXT, you know? So, like, I think that would be interesting to see, like, how she would bring up this young upcoming talent, rise their stardom up. Could also see a possible chance, maybe another women's championship run, do you think?
I wouldn't be surprised if they're going that route. One of my memorable quotes that stuck in my head was when Bubba Ray Dudley was on Chris Jericho, Stone Cold's podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Stone Cold, no, the Broken Skulls, the show he has on the network.
Yeah.
And he was talking about, would he ever come back to wrestling? Because he was gone for a while. He goes, you know, I think about it. I would love to come back, but I'm not coming back for a one-off. If I'm going to come back, it's going to mean something. when my time is done, I need somebody to be elevated. I need to make somebody look better and put somebody in a better position where they were. Well, that's fucking brilliant. What a fucking selfless act, this man. He knows his position. He knows where he is. He's willing to put the younger talent over, which you would think veterans would want to do. So they had to probably do that route. Maybe she wants to come back and so I'd maybe not win a championship or do what Becky Lynch did, win the championship and pass a torch on to the next person. Maybe to a Tiffany Stratton right. or to a Roxanne coming up. She'll probably be the main roster by then. So who knows? There's many ways they can go with this. I did not hear about this until today, so I'm just kind of spitballing here. So who knows? They can go any way they want.
I mean, also, a lot of people have also talked about AJ Lee and Bayley.
Well, sign me up. And Bayley can do no wrong in my eyes. So that's a match. I would love to see Bayley with AJ Lee. That'd be great. Bayley with anybody is great. But
however, though, like the complicated part about that is
they never crossed paths.
Bayley. No.
Was AJ at the door when she was
not, never seen. Yeah. So, like, they never wrestled. They have crossed paths. I think they had, like, a backstage segment once, but that was it. I think the problem with that is, like, you know, Bayley just turned face, so she's going to be face for quite a bit. AJ Lee, she's going to come back. Like, there's no way in hell you can make AJ Lee heel in her comeback.
I mean, you can. Like they won't, but they can.
How could you? Like, the fan reaction is going to go nuts.
Again, one of the best heel turns of all time, Chris Jericho, when he came back, made his return, the roof blew off that place. But then he never said a word. He just kept milking the crowd reaction until the crowd started getting tired of it and started booing him a little bit. I don't see that going with her. I don't see her turning heel, but you could go that route. I don't see him going that way, but it is possible. Never say never in the WWE. But
I mean, that's true. Never say never, but in this case, it's close to never, I think. If she were to return right away and that's the first program she's in, if she's around a little bit, right, and then has that match with Bayley, I could see her turning heel. Because AJ Lee, I mean, Bayley as well, a great heel, but AJ Lee was a great heel. So, like, I don't know. It depends how long of a run she wants to have.
Yeah. Probably Chattis was around for a couple months, right? It's part-time, but she was around for a couple months. They can go that route. I don't see her back.
See Trish Stratus back?
What?
You think we'll see Trish Stratus back, by the way, or no?
I think so.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I hope so.
I mean, she still got it.
She definitely does. Jeez, more than ever. But why, all right, buddy, let's
relax.
Listen, not like that, buddy. Come on, calm down. All right, let's go into other news here, buddy. Ronda Rousey has a memoir that's out. Did you know?
No, I did not know this, Marcus. Can we talk about Kate Middleton some more?
Fightful Wrestling at Fightful. Ronda Rousey wrote this about Vince McMahon in her memoir, Our Fight. Pay-per-views are held in major cities like New York, Los Angeles, and Philadelphia, as well as now twice a year in Saudi Arabia, a nation that restricts the rights of women in a way that I'm certain Vince McMahon wishes he could. Shots fired there. She goes on about it. Covalent TV at the Covalent TV. Speaks more about this. I'm just going to quote this part. NXT was founded by and under the control of Triple H, real name Paul Levesque. In addition to being my in-ring WrestleMania nemesis, he's arguably one of the best professional wrestlers in history and one of the better people on the business side. He's married to Stephanie McMahon, who is the daughter of WWE's Emperor Palpatine, Vince McMahon. Vince took over the company from his father in the early 1980s and spent the better part of 40 years playing a real-world pro wrestling version of Monopoly, buying up and absorbing smaller promotions until he basically owned them all. It's hard to know sometimes where the evil, unethical slimeball character Vince McMahon played out for the camera's ends, and the actual questionability ethical many times sued and multiple times accused of sexual misconduct Vince McMahon begins. That blurred line between character and reality is a recurring theme within WWE Universe. Wow.
How's she really feel, you think?
Right. Ronda Rousey not one to hold back. What do you make of these comments, especially with all these allegations coming out against Vince McMahon, well, lawsuits coming out against Vince McMahon? Is his legacy, is it tarnished right now, you think? Is it like completely ruined?
Yeah, it's probably completely ruined. It's like the Bill Cosby now. Like, you can't really... Bill Cosby did fucking fantastic work. Heathcliff Huxtable, one of the greatest dads in TV history. But you can't really talk about it too much because it's fucking what he did. I think we're going down now that road with Vince McMahon. Of course his legacy's tarnished. Of course. There's no coming back from this. There's no more Vince McMahon people in WWE. Apparently there's nobody, no, not to say, no more supporters of him in the TKO. He's not going to be coming back. He's done. He's gone. And what she's saying here isn't her own personal point of view. We've heard that from many people in the past.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's ruined. Ruined. Ruined.
Because of this, Ronda Rousey that says she never wants to come back to WWE.
Which makes that's part that makes no fucking sense to me.
Right. I mean, right. Because she just talked up glowingly about Triple H.
This is gone. There's no more hands in this pot anymore. Triple H is now in charge. Shawn Michaels in charge of NXT.
It could be the experience is forever tarnished for her. You know,
that makes sense.
It's ruined for her. She doesn't want to come back. I can understand that. Ronda Rousey has plenty of other things going on. And honestly, when she came back, she didn't seem really that much into
her comeback sucked.
It just seemed like I'm here so I don't get fined. That was her attitude.
She was
finishing up her contract.
She's also madly in love with Dana White. And Dana White's now part of the whole TKO umbrella. So never say never, like we just mentioned. But I think I don't even want her back. If she's going to have this attitude, don't want her back.
Well, I mean, like, it seems like she has a rightful reason to think these things.
Absolutely. But the reason she feels this way is gone. Except for the whole Saudi Arabia thing, which you can't really. They're locked into that. But that's going to
end. They're locked into that.
That's going to end in, what, 3 years now? 4 years now? It's coming up. It's going to come up.
It's coming up. Let's see what they renew. Let's see about that. But anyway, like going to Vince McMahon, though, like the thing is with him, I think it's a hard pill for a lot of people to swallow. He's not going to be canceled completely. We can't erase Vince McMahon like we have done with Chris Benoit.
Who?
Because, right, exactly. We can't do that to Vince McMahon. Like he's the reason. If you're a wrestling fan, he's the reason for all of this. Right now, whether you love him, hate him, or you want him to go to hell, like this is the truth. You know, like going to Harvey Weinstein, you know, who I think is the biggest scumbag. You know that he's part of cinematic history. A lot of movies and careers were made because of him. We can't completely cancel, ignore any of that. You know, that's there forever. Vince McMahon's stamp in wrestling, period, not just WWE, all of wrestling. There would be no AEW without WWE, without Vince McMahon. Sorry, Tony. It's just the truth.
I don't think they cancel him. I don't think he'll be canceled. You just don't have to talk about him.
Do you think over time, we would just completely forget about Vince and that's it? Like, I think it's going to be a very long time. It's going to be after our lifetime.
Yeah, he'll be forgotten. Everybody's forgotten. He'll be a footnote in the past. We won't be talking about him. They won't be thinking about him. He'll just be, that guy who revolutionized the business? Oh, yeah, that guy.
The dude who created WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Like, it's crazy because you know how I feel about him. I'm not a fan of the man right now. I think the actions, everything he's done is deplorable. But, like, I'm just stating some realistic facts here. The dude, I feel like he cannot be erased in our lifetime. Maybe in future lifetimes, maybe it'll be exactly what you said, a footnote. But the dude, again, he made wrestling.
So I'm waiting for this moment to happen on WWE 2K24, the WrestleMania showcase mode. Because I heard there are people trying to boycott, trying to get Vince removed from the game. They're trying to get Brock Lesnar removed from the game. And they're saying there's no way they could do that, too late. But in the showcase mode, they show real clips of TV. Amazing job. If you haven't played it yet, check it out. They do a great job over there. But apparently, they're talking about the Charlotte Flair match, Ronda Rousey, Charlotte Flair, and the Becky Lynch match. And they blur out his face in the clip. So I'm waiting to get to that point to see if that is that actually true. Was that somebody who was trying to manifest that into the world? Because there's no way you can erase him completely. Everyone fucking knows. But you can erase him from the game like that? That's a huge step going forward.
It's a big step, but we all know who it is. I mean, I don't know. You definitely have to let me know. But, like, I just want to put my two cents in on that.
Because,
you know, Ronda Rousey.
I was trying to think that might be fake because previous WrestleMania 17, Stone Cold vs. The Rock, the clips are of Vince McMahon. Vince McMahon is in the game, but he's not blurred out. So why would they blur him out there? Doesn't make any sense. Anyway, I'm going off on a tangent here.
Right. Like, just to wrap it up, he's just so heavily involved.
Yeah.
He's like, unlike Chris Benoit, you know, Chris Benoit, ooh, like, he, again, like, sorry, buddy, but like, you know, I have to bring him up. Like, yeah, he had a small little run in WWE, but like, it's not as impactful, not as historic as what Vince McMahon. Vince McMahon is all throughout. If you go any back in time, you look at the whole Attitude Era, for example, like you just can't. Like, people have tried with Hulk Hogan, you really couldn't fully do that either with him.
Nope,
so,
no way.
I mean, again, like, you can call him a scumbag. I agree. You could not like their actions, but it's hard to deny what they've done for the industry. You can't completely erase history, unfortunately, because if you do, then you can't really talk about wrestling, period, right now. But that's my two cents, buddy. That's all I have for the news.
Can I play you singing I'm Ken again?
No.
It's time for this week's TV Takedown.
Marcus, what was trending this week in the world of television?
All right, buddy. So, who would have been killing it?
Cut you off. Cut you off real quick.
Yeah.
The voice you just heard was Shane Fairs. Speedy recovery to Shane Fairs. He's going through some health issues. Much love to him. Shout out. Appreciate you. God bless.
Love Shane Fairs, man. Yes. Yes. 100%. So, dude, the women have been killing it. We have three big women's championship matches heading into WrestleMania weekend. Crispy Wrestling at Crispy Wrestling. That was what? Roxanne versus Lyra. I can never say her last name.
Valkyria.
Valkyria. Thank you. Bailey versus Io Sky. Yeah, right. Rhea Ripley versus Becky Lynch. WrestleMania weekend women title matches. We ready. Putty, Roxanne's been trending quite a bit this whole run here. So is Becky, so is Bailey. Who do you think is most likely to lose their championship heading to WrestleMania? Of these three women matches that we have here?
You would think it would be Rhea Ripley because she's held it the longest, but she's on such a hot streak right now. I'm going to have to say Io Sky because you...
Really?
You're building up Tiffany Stratton to be the next big thing, but then she loses to Becky Lynch, right? Then Becky Lynch loses to Taya Valkyria on purpose as a way to elevate her, to make her look better, to make her look stronger, pass the torch.
Mm-hmm.
That was only a couple months ago. If she loses here, what was the point of everything? Okay, and plus Roxanne's on her way to the main roster sooner rather than later. So I think Lyra Valkyria. I'm thinking Taya Valkyria.
Yeah. Yeah, watch the show once in a while. Huh?
Maybe I should. Because they're so fucking similar. But anyway, I think she's safe. I think she needs to retain here. Plus, Roxanne just turned to just reward her with a championship. Especially saying she never lost it. She needs to lose. I think Lyra's safe. Rhea Ripley, Becky Lynch is close. It's close, but Rhea is so fucking hot right now. Nuclear hot. You got to stay with her. You got to stay with her. Io and Damage Control were never that hot. I was thinking today, Io, what memorable matches, what memorable feuds has she entered? I think she had a couple matches with Bianca Belair, or Bianca, as my boy says. All right, it's been a kind of a forgettable title run. Let's give it to Bayley. I think she earns it and deserves it. Give it to her. Everybody's behind Bayley. So of those three, I think Io is the most in danger to lose.
I disagree.
Of course you do.
I disagree. And I'm not disagreeing just to disagree here. Like, I think Damage Control, they have the numbers on their side here.
Do they?
You know, and they do. Like, I don't necessarily believe Bianca Belair is going to be the save-all here that people are projecting.
It's Bianca. It's fucking Naomi. Now you have Jade Carl coming in because we had a tease a couple weeks ago. Now we're making her official debut next week.
I'm still not buying it. I could see Bianca actually costing Bailey this match. There's heat there. Okay. You know, like, this is not going to be completely forgotten by WrestleMania. Like, Bianca, she has legit, but, like, you know, she definitely has gripes against Bailey, and they're legitimate.
You just hate Bailey, don't you?
No, I don't. Because I think, honestly, Bailey, this feud will continue. That's what I think. I think Bayley will ultimately beat Io Sky for the championship. I just don't think it's going to happen at WrestleMania.
Who's losing?
Who's most in danger?
Mm-hmm.
Who's like the biggest threat right now? I think Roxanne's the biggest threat.
Yeah.
Honestly, you bring up great points about her possibly being moved up to the main roster. I don't necessarily know if that's going to happen right away, though. You know, like Roxanne becoming a second time NXT Women's Champion, I think that the writing's on the wall. She's on the rise. She's got a really hot streak going for her. And there's just so much that she can do there still at NXT before she gets called up as a champion. And she brought up the claim, too. She never lost.
It just feels like the whole Becky winning the NXT title to give it to Lyra is just to be a waste then, if she's losing it 3 months later.
But then, like, you know, Tiffany lost, and obviously she's still doing well here.
Well, she added it to the main roster. Yeah. She moved on. Her time was up. Lyra's not – her time's not up. She's not going to the main roster.
But Tiffany didn't move up right away.
She lost after the feud was done. After her rematch, she lost. She was the main roster.
No, it wasn't right away.
It was right away.
It took a bit.
No, it was right
away. No, it was not right away.
Agree to disagree.
Tiffany Stratton did not move up right away.
Okay, agree to disagree. Okay. Agree to disagree.
Look it up. Look it up right now.
I will. No, agree to disagree. We have a show to do. We'll look it up after the show. Let's move on.
I would say second, like...
So Rhea's not losing.
Points about I feel like you bring up some good points about Rhea Ripley. I feel like Bayley's up there. Becky Lynch is up there as well, as far as the biggest threat. Oh, but Becky's all about putting people over, you know, making people shine like she did in NXT, like you mentioned before. I feel like Becky Lynch did a fabulous job on Monday Night Raw, like making Nia Jax look like $1 million. Yeah, but I think Roxanne's the biggest threat. I think you're right about Rhea Ripley. I think she retains.
Okay, great. Yeah, I think Rhea's going to retain until probably SummerSlam or something. She's going to be a champion for a while longer. They love having champions for a while now. That's a new thing. So I'm going to go with I'm willing to make a bet on it. That bet is, I don't know. We'll talk about it next week. But
yeah, we'll talk about that on the side. Moving on, though, Putty. Going to AEW. So... Sky Blue is trending quite a bit.
Let me guess.
It was not. It was not.
Good. To respect.
For once.
Put respect on her name, please.
For once, it was not for her looks, right? Like, Sky Blue is interesting, man. She's very good at what she does.
Getting better and better.
But I feel like anytime I see her trending, it's always regarding her looks, which it drives me nuts.
Certain camera angles, camera shots. Yeah, I get it.
Exactly.
Talk about last week.
And like, I always, whenever I see her name trending, I always get excited, like, all right, cool, what are we talking about? Oh, it's that. But now she's trending for all the right reasons. Squared Circle Hub at Squared Circle Hub. We got to give Sky Blue credit. She went from Chicago Indies to busting her ass on AEW Dark, to having the most matches last year in all of AEW, including Indies, a new persona, and now being in the ring with Mercedes Moné and putting on absolute bangers. Whenever she's on national television, she's a star. She this obviously after the tag match, the hardcore tag match that they had, hell of a match here. Putty, what do you think? Is this the year Sky Blue wins a championship at AEW? I can't speak today.
Yeah, I think so. I think this is going to lead to her and Julia feuding, and she'll probably win the TBS championship sometime this year.
Yeah, I think TBS championship is the most logical choice there. I feel like her winning the AEW women's championship might be a stretch right now.
Big time. That feels too crowded. There's too top tier talent, and again, she's not on that level, but she's getting better and better and better.
She's not
must see TV,
right? She's definitely, I feel like this is definitely a breakout year for her.
Yeah.
And
this new persona definitely helps.
Totally.
Old persona was compared to the Bayley Hugger gimmick. She's happy, happy, joy, joy. But it was mostly about that ass. Now you have the actual character, you know, real, like a gimmick, edge. It's more than that. And
yeah.
She's showing her abilities in the ring. It's great.
She's got a sick side to her, man. Did you see that match?
Yeah, I did.
That was gruesome.
I love AEW's doing these women tag team hardcore matches. Because they're not just throwing away these matches. They're always built and mean something. They're very rare, but they always, when they do it, they mean something. And they always deliver. And this match, all four women did a great job.
No, they really did. Julia Hart as well. Did I give up for Chris Statlander? West Side Stone.
Willow.
Willow. Former BCW.
Sorry, Willow, you were born in the wrong county. I'll give you respect.
She's from Long Island as well. That's true. But, like, you know, this woman's roster is shaping up, isn't it?
You asked me to take a drink of water. yeah, it is. It's shaping up. I was thinking about you. We said it was the weakest cog in AEW's wheel a couple years ago.
When it first started off, yeah.
Even a couple years, like a year ago, 2 years ago. It's getting better and better and better. We always said TNA's women's roster is second to none. Mm-hmm. WWE and AEW are fucking vying for that flag. There's women's division and all three brands are stacked and getting better.
Women's wrestling all around, dude. It's just like, it's just completely taken off. Like, it all started with like hashtag give divas a chance, yeah. Right? And like, it just kept on building and building and building and building and building. And like, you know, I've said for a while that I feel like the women wrestlers all around are just hungrier than the men. And like, in a lot of cases, I feel like they're outperforming the guys. Like, and it's great to see AEW have this stacked roster, especially compared to what it used to be. And you're talking about TNA, you're talking about WWE. Dude, look at the indies as well. So many talented women wrestlers out there. It's insane. And I love it.
That's great. Great. Wow. A whole women show devoted just to women, pure women wrestling. Yeah, it's great. We talked last week, last episode, I think what, 5 out of our 6 stories or 4 out of our 5 stories were all about women. It's Women History Month, but they're definitely taking over the last couple months. In 2024, so far, women's wrestling is exploding, and it's been a hot topic.
Totally.
Outshining the men many times.
It's just wild that we don't have like a woman PLE in either promotion right now. That's a consistent thing. We had WWE Evolution years ago, and we haven't come close to having another one, either WWE or AEW. I think both promotions, they have the talent to do it.
Well, TNA back in the day had women's PLEs. They got rid of that for some reason. So I wouldn't be surprised if they made a comeback, if this not this year, next year.
Yeah, and like I would like to see it be a regular thing, like once a year, like instead of just like a one-off every blue moon. Like, there's a lot of women talent.
It would get stale if it was every year. Like the Hell in a Cell match. Oh, it's going to be Hell in a Cell. Okay. But like, build up to it. Make the storylines converge to a certain point, all of them, to like they're ahead, and make that the women's PLE. Don't just do it to do it.
No, I mean, I feel like there's a lot of talent in both promotions where, like, why not do it Women's History Month? Like, I think to me that just makes sense.
Do it, but just don't do it to do it. Do it, build up to it. Build up storylines.
Build up. No, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. They should build up to it. Like,
I think going to
like
Evolution, there were some matches that were just thrown together.
Except for, like, Nikki and Ronda. I feel like that was a good feud. No, Charlotte and Becky, right?
Evolution, I don't remember. So long ago. What year was that? Like 2018?
Yeah, I know. It was so long ago. But like, you're right. I don't want to do it just to do it. Like, yeah, build up to each one. If you're gonna do it once a year, yeah, definitely. Let's have storylines. Let's make this a thing. But buddy, let's move on though. Hopefully, like I almost said, Vince. Hopefully, either Triple H or Tony Khan does something like this, or both. That'd be awesome. Sticking to AEW though, buddy,
or TNA too. Come on,
big time match happened on AEW Dynamite between Adam Copeland and Christian Cage. Just Alex Central. The war is over, at least for now. Adam Copeland finally conquers Christian Cage in an absolutely bonkers I Quit match and wins the AEW TNT Championship. My only complaint: it should have been commercial free. Then I'd probably be calling it one of the best main events in AEW Dynamite history. Honestly, it still might be. A lot of people are calling this the best match in AEW Dynamite history. Putty, what do you think? Was this the best match AEW has had?
Probably in a while. Am I an asshole?
You are,
one,
but go on.
Two, am I an asshole because the ending didn't get me?
Go on.
Like,
go on.
I love the fact that they handcuffed Luchasaurus, Killswitch and Nick Wayne. Handcuffed them. Took them out of the equation. Beautiful. One-on-one, finally. But then they handcuff Christian, too. And then they take Spike out, and then he hits him a low blow, then kicks him a low blow several times. Christian still says no. And then Adam Copeland, I don't know why he froze there, goes to, like, hit him in the head, and Christian cowers and says, I quit. Mm-hmm. I get the cowering part, but it's just, he didn't really quit. You didn't make him quit. You just, I don't know. I just didn't like that ending. Am I an asshole here? Am I making sense? I feel like if this feud came to a head, he should have made Christian legitimately say, I quit. Not just to get out of a beating. He should have beat it out of him, not escape a beating.
I do feel the ending felt a little flat. I do agree with this.
Good match. There's nothing away from the match, but just ending just...
It is a very good match. And part of the reason why it was a very good match and why probably a lot of people would say it's one of AEW Dynamite's best is because there was a long-form storytelling here, which AEW mostly shies away from, I think.
Big time.
You know, one of the best matches I've seen live was when I was at AEW Grand Slam, Arthur Ashe Stadium, like the first one, Kenny Omega versus Brian Danielson. I thought that was a hell of a match. And like, I know a lot of people were complaining, like, oh, well, it ended in a draw, right? Like they were in the middle of the ring duking it out still and ended in a draw. I thought it was cool. It's like, all right, well, you know what? Like it's obviously going to go to something else. It's obviously the storyline's going to continue, and didn't it?
No. Went away.
So like it took away the fact that like I took back that like this is the best match because there was no payoff. Like, yeah, it was for me what a good match is, and this could be different to you, it could be different to our viewers. Like, for me, like, what makes a good match is not just, like, the athleticism and the competitiveness in the ring. It's the story as well and what happens afterwards. Like, it's stuff like that you remember. And that's why I think if people are considering this, Adam Copeland and Christian Cage, with the best match, I think a lot of it has to do with that. For me, I agree. The ending was, I feel like it could have been more solid, mm-hmm. but the match itself was still solid itself overall.
Yeah, absolutely. Talking about the ending is just, I would like to see him make Christian say, I quit.
I feel like it was too much fuckery going on at the end, honestly.
Yeah.
It was too many people involved. I didn't necessarily like that so much. I don't know.
It'd be more impactful if you have Killswitch and Nick Wayne handcuffed, helpless, and the patriarch of that family being forced to say, I quit, instead of just being handcuffed and helpless and just saying I quit to avoid a beating. Mm. But that was just me. But good match. Christian Cage and Magic. Christian and Edge are Magic still together. So anything they could do would be great.
Which Alex said, do you think it's done?
I think so. How do you come back from this? This is the third match. Usually it's three is a payoff. Forever? No. I'm sure they'll come back around eventually. As a feud, as a team, I don't know. But
These guys are in their 50s. Like, how much more do they have left?
Who knows? From what I saw, you're just telling me two guys in their 50s had the best match in AEW history? Okay. Yeah. Apparently a lot. You said, last year, Roman Reigns is in the third inning? I think their tank's about maybe three-quarters empty. They still got some time left. They still got some mileage left on those tires. So let's go.
I mean, you know, good for them both because, like, you know, they're careers written off a while ago with the injuries that they've had to endure. And it seems like they're both just having a blast, yeah, enjoying the time that they have left competing in the ring. So
good for,
like,
Edge coming back. Good for Edge coming back. Great for Christian. This has revolutionized his career. Edge didn't need 100%. This. Christian did. And great for Edge.
I feel like Adam did too. I feel like Adam still like felt like he needed stuff to prove to himself that he still had it.
To himself, and, yeah.
Oh, honestly, dude, the crowd reaction chills for Adam Copeland with the all singing to his music. I thought that was dope. That helped make the moment. Overall, it was cool to see. Ending was all right. I'm not going to give a star system. I'm not Dave Meltzer, but enjoyable match. Best might be an overstatement. But moving on, no putty, to SmackDown. Cody Rhodes, Roman Reigns, obviously the trending topics here for SmackDown. Cam Dreesen at the Cam Dreesen. Roman says Cody is a fool for trusting Seth and goes over his history with the Shield and says Cody will be turned on just like Seth did to Roman. Cody mentions that the Shield were dominant, but the Rhodes were the first to beat the Shield at Battleground 2013. Love the history references here. Also, Cody bringing up The Rock and Retaliation about, like, you know, who should trust who, blah, blah, blah. I feel like someone's turning here, buddy. Who's most likely to betray their partner at WrestleMania, Seth Rollins or The Rock?
Probably The Rock. We're not buying him as a heel. When he says heel stuff, okay, but he still gets massive pops, massive crowd reactions.
You're still stuck in that.
Okay. It's going to be The Rock versus Roman Reigns originally, if that was really the original plan. We're still owed this match. Turn on him. We got this match at SummerSlam, if not next year, WrestleMania. I just don't see Seth Rollins turning heel at this point in time.
Seth Rollins is supposed to be taking a break after this, right?
Yeah, so why turn him heel now if he's going to go away for a while? Checkmate.
I mean, it's a good point. I mean, or, you know,
God, The Rock's going away for a while, right? Too, so who knows? Really?
Right, because, like, The Rock, I think, is filming a movie right after WrestleMania as well.
Yeah.
So they're both going to be out for a bit. Or we could be completely swerved here. But am I wrong in thinking someone's going to turn? Like, would you be more shocked that, like, there's no turn at all?
9-1? During a tag team match?
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if there's a turn, but I wouldn't be disappointed if there wasn't.
Well said. I wouldn't be disappointed if there wasn't either. I kind of hope there isn't.
Yeah.
But it just keeps on being brought up over and over.
Unless you, 9-1, there's no turn, and the Bloodline wins, and then The Rock turns on him at 9-2, but then you don't want to cheapen Cody's win. So many angles you can go here, but I just don't. I would not be surprised. I'd rather no. I don't want to see a turn here. No,
you're doubling down. No,
no, all in.
I don't know, man. Like, I'm with you as far as the want factor, as far as what we will see. I just feel like there's just too many breadcrumbs that they're mentioning here.
Unless it's The Rock, I mean. It has to be The Rock. I don't see Cody turning, Seth turning.
Did you see the Pat McAfee show before, by the way?
No. I totally forgot about it.
Okay, so Roman Reigns was on, and Pat McAfee brought up the whole, you know, the thumb thing that The Rock does.
Great. Like, okay,
acknowledging the tribal chief.
Okay.
Right? Roman completely dodged the question.
What'd he say?
You know, talking about, like, He went on to, like, how The Rock and Roman Reigns, that was supposed to be in the match. Mm-hmm. Then these Cody crybabies, they took it away from me, blah, blah, blah. He went into that. Okay. Didn't acknowledge the acknowledgement of The Rock.
Eh, okay. That's fine.
So, like, do you feel like that there's something there with that? Like,
I don't think so. Michael Strahan had a lot of hand injuries. So he can manipulate his hand in a certain way, but there's certain fingers he can't move in a certain way. So maybe The Rock's thumb's busted, or maybe he just can't automatically do it.
That's why I originally thought, too. Like, the dude lifts a lot.
Yeah.
Right? So, like, you know, it could be natural. Like, there's, like, a ligament issue or whatever. Where he can't do it. But he did do it at one point.
Yeah, after. And then he forced it.
Yeah, it was weird.
It might be just about a muscular thing. I'm not reading too much into it.
The fact that they're bringing it up on TV, Seth Rollins brought it up in a promo on Raw, and now Pat McAfee is bringing it up to Roman Reigns. Roman Reigns dodges the question. Like,
if this meant something, I don't know. Okay,
I mean this means a loser, you know, like back in the day.
You got that a lot. You got that a lot. unless it like meant something, I'm not reading too much into it.
Yeah, I mean, like that's the only reason I bring it up is because, like, obviously we're talking about who's more likely to turn on who here, right? And like you mentioned about The Rock, and that's why I bring this up. It's like, you know, could that have something to do with it? Could The Rock actually, that was a fan theory as well, like, you know, The Rock interfering in Cody's behalf on night two to level the playing field here. And I don't honestly know if that would cheapen Cody's win, because if it's bloodline rules and the bloodline's getting fully evolved, and The Rock makes a save, does that really cheapen it?
I think so, because you want Cody to win. You don't want Cody to win because Rock got involved.
But not necessarily The Rock getting involved with Roman, but The Rock getting involved with Solo and Jimmy.
I don't think we'll have the same impact. They're just lackeys at this point.
But, like, what about last year, though? So they got involved, and Kevin Owens, the Usos got involved, and then Kevin Owens and Sammy got involved. If Cody won then, would that have dampened it? Like, I thought that was an awesome moment.
Maybe. I don't know.
I feel like we're going to get, like, an Avengers type of moment here at WrestleMania Night 2. That's just my feeling somehow, some way. But moving on, though, Putty, continuing on to SmackDown. Let's talk about a rivalry that's going on there. It's pretty hot right now. That's not getting a lot of airtime. LA Knight. Just Alex Central. LA Knight showed up at AJ Styles' house and got arrested for attacking him on his own turf. All caps here. That's fucking wild. I love how WWE shot this too. Big throwback to the days of home invasions and Stone Cold Steve Austin hunting his opponents outside the ring. Putty, what did you think of this segment? A lot of people are raving about it. I personally think it's a little too close to Stone Cold. What are your thoughts?
I enjoyed it. I don't see the comparison to Stone Cold because LA Knight did not break into his house. He lured him out. Didn't Stone Cold break into Brian Pillman's house?
Yeah.
And the screen went blank. He didn't break into AJ's house. He lured him out. And then I agree. It was shot well done when they said there are cameras.
It was shot really well. Yeah.
I always wonder how they do this. Do they hire like fake cops? Do they do rent the cops? Because it was fucking. Do they have to let the neighbors know? Did they let the real cops know? Whatever they did, it was worked perfectly. We haven't seen like something like this in a while. I think the last time we saw something like a home invasion was on WWE property. Was Seth went to Edge's house? That wasn't any violence. And then Samoa Joe went to AJ Styles' house to talk to his wife. You don't see it too often, but when they do it, they always do it right. And this was a home run. The security camera footage from the cops' body cams and the inside the
body
car,
cam.
That's new.
That was a really good touch. Yeah.
Yeah. I just thought
this production team, like we talked about before. Remember we talked about like Kevin Dunn, his exit.
Yeah.
Will we see a difference? Will we notice a difference? And we said like, oh, if we do, it's probably going to be bad that we notice. It's like quite the opposite.
No, yeah. Like, remember saying it's going to be bad. It was just, plus now the promo styles, just everything's. Not another gear.
It's crisp.
Yeah. It's surprising to say because they were so crisp to begin with.
Yeah.
Now they're another level. It's amazing.
Yeah, it's making me think, man, like Kevin Dunn is not as good as we thought he was. Like this guy is awesome. But like going back to LA Knight and what I said about the comparison to Stone Cold, you know, I feel like this is going to sound like such a knock on LA Knight, but here we go. I do really like LA Knight.
The views expressed by Mark Schwann do not reflect the shot of wrestling views or views
there
myself.
There you go. I could have said the same about you last week. You got crushed by your Vince McMahon comments.
I was tired. I was in a bad mood. I was crabby. I wasn't supposed to be here. I got tagged in last minute. I wasn't prepared.
But LA Knight, right? A lot of people compare him. They say he's like a cross between Stone Cold and The Rock, right? About his style and his cadence, his the way he delivers promos, like there's a lot of knocks about him not necessarily being an original, right? And I feel like something like this, as cool as it was, I did enjoy the segment, but like I feel like it does nothing to actually help alleviate some of those comparisons to make him stand out as his own. You know, that's the thing that I say. And then that's why I specifically chose just Alex's tweet amongst the many tweets that are talking about this particular segment.
Let's talk about us too. Who cares? LA Knight's his own guy. He could take from this guy, take from that guy. Everybody takes from everybody. There will be no Nature Boy Ric Flair without Buddy Rogers. So he took from him. Took the Nature Boy gimmick. So yeah, everybody takes from somebody. He can't control the cadence. If that's what his inspiration was, if that's what his role models were, you know, people who idolize pitchers, quarterbacks, they take from people they grew up idolizing. So if it's the same thing here, okay, I'm not going to sit here and compare him. When I first saw him in TNA or Impact, I got the Stone Cold cadence. Oh, this guy reminds me of Stone Cold, the way he talks, the way his promos. That wasn't a knock. That wasn't an insult. That wasn't me taking away anything from him.
No, yeah.
Some people are. Now on the main roster, I could see still that. I think it's lessened a little bit from originally. But, okay, who better to be compared to than Stone Cold and The Rock?
No, I mean, and that's a fair point. That's a fair counterpoint.
It is, but
to that argument.
To us, but the people who are using it to criticize him as not being original, a lot of people aren't original.
But they're like,
Sting's not right, original. So Sting wasn't original then. He took his gimmick from The Crow. Right? He was Crow Sting. Are we giving him shit for that?
A lot of people took things from other, like Undertaker took from Michael Myers, right? But the thing is, like, you know, we talk about these characters, we talk about these personas when you take from other people, like they made it their own, right? Like Ric Flair did, yes, he took the Nature Boy gimmick from Buddy Rogers, but like we don't talk about Buddy Rogers, we talk about Ric Flair, right? Because Ric Flair took it to another level. Like, I guess what I'm asking here is, like, you know, as we wrap it up right now, as we're counting down a minute. What can LA Knight, real fast, Putty, do to stand out to make it his own to get to that next level?
Keep doing what he's doing. He's doing fine. I don't care. He's doing fine. I think he is his own man with the yeah stuff and the pointing to the crowd chanting along to his stuff. Just because it sounds like and his cadence are like Stone Cold-esque, I'm not going to hold that against him. I think he is his own man. He is in his own level. And I think he's going places. What can he do to silence those guys? Nothing. Those people's minds are made up.
I don't know. I disagree about that. I do think LA Knight does have another gear in him. What that is, I don't know. I think only LA Knight will know. But like, I feel like there is definitely something else there that for him to kick up and for make people to shut up. And that's all I have for TV.
All right, I guess on that note, any go-home thoughts for you, my friend?
Any go-home thoughts?
Besides the fact that you were right, that Kate had cancer. Good job, buddy.
No, stop. God. Follow March Madness at all, buddy?
No. 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 I just, no. I don't care. Like, I would always play around these brackets.
Yeah.
And Larry, I shared a clip with my friend. I'll send it to you later. Larry David had a great point. Like, how am I supposed to keep up with all these teams? How am I supposed to know who to pick? Who keeps up with all these teams? It's all luck. I don't know anything. It was all luck. And I always
lose. It's all luck.
And my brackets always end up looking like the backseat of the fucking the guy from Pulp Fiction. It just makes no sense. It's all red. I lose. And, okay. This year, like, I get invited to two of them. I held my ground this year. Like, no, I'm not doing it.
I don't put any money on it. Right, because I just feel like it's just all pure luck. There have been years where I'm like so heavy into it, I feel like I know all the players and whatnot, and those are the years I do the worst. Actually,
me too.
There's no rhyme or reason to it, man. Like you can know nothing about basketball, and you could do fairly well in this.
There was one year I went by the seeds and the teams I knew, like the names at least I knew or who's talked about. And I did my bracket that way. And then the same year, I did another one, but online bracket, they gave you the data and the expert analysis, and I went by that. And then the third, there was a three that year, and I did autofill experts pick. Lost all three, fucking three of them. It's a crapshoot.
I did two this year. The one I did was just I went based on my own picks and my own feelings, right? The other one, like, someone did a model. They put like all this stuff in the ChatGPT for, with all the statistics, blah blah blah. Ran it through, and ChatGPT picked out the winners of each game, right? So I just did that. Let's see how that works. It's the same.
Of course not. Yeah.
Yeah. Even AI doesn't know how to deal with this.
The gentleman who comes into my office to take my garbage and clean up a little bit, I always talk to him, chat with him a little bit. And he was talking to me about college football, the playoffs, and the college big championship game. He was rooting against somebody. I forgot who the teams were. I know it was Michigan and Wisconsin. He was rooting against somebody. And so he's asking me about college basketball. And like, yeah, I don't really keep up with it too much. I mean, it is fun to watch because these kids are, you know, you see them in the NBA one day, the passion. It's more fun, a lot on the line.
The tournament style, and there's always an upset. Yeah. Like, it's exciting.
So I asked him, like, so did you fill out your brackets? How many are you doing this year? This guy came with me with a great pearl wisdom. He goes, yeah, I filled out my bracket this year, but I do it for myself. I don't do any bet. I'm not in a pool. I just fill out for myself just to see how I do. Maybe I should have done that. That's fucking cool.
Yeah, that's fine.
I'm going to do that next year just to see how badly I do.
Right? I mean, like, even like, it's pretty much the same if you're doing it in a pool. If you're not putting any money down for it, it's a free pool. You know, yeah. What the fuck do you have to lose? Like, nothing. I don't care.
Yeah.
Right. Like, if I do well, sick. Awesome. But chances are I'm not.
None. Some billionaire, I forgot who it was, offered $1 billion for a perfect bracket.
Yeah, good luck.
Yeah.
Don't want to win that money.
I think, yes, in the first round, there's, cool, like, somebody, a famous person who has a perfect bracket. I think it's an athlete. I forgot who it was, but there's a perfect bracket after round one. How? Who picked Kentucky to lose? I think I picked one upset, one double digit, picks one of the high single digits, but come on. That one?
I did pick an upset that I think almost happened. Like, it was looking good in the first half, and the second half, not so much. But, yeah, no, I didn't have.
My highlight, I picked one big upset. I think I picked, like, a 2 or 3 seed to lose in the first round. They did. And that was like, I should have retired then. That was the highlight of my fucking
NCAA. It's always great when you predict that upset,
yeah,
right?
One in the billion chance, yeah.
There was one year in college where I had like some underdog team, like
Jets
going to fuck off. Went down to, I think it was like the Sweet 16, I think maybe. They got pretty far, okay. And I was so psyched that I had that part right. Everything else I had wrong.
I believe it.
Wow. Yeah, buddy, that's my going thoughts. It's March Madness. That's basically my my free time, right, I'm doing right now.
Next week, we'll be here, hopefully, God willing. That'll be our go-home show to WrestleMania. Can't believe WrestleMania's upon us already. But we are just 4 weeks away from BCW's Queen of the North 5, which means, gentlemen and ladies, the governor will be making his way to the studio to record some future shot of BCW episodes. Don't give me the wrap it up sign.
We talk about AJ. I mean, like,
so yes. Yeah. So stay tuned to this very feed wherever you're listening to it, for future shot of BCW as we break down the card for Queen of the North 5. Can't believe it's been 5 of them already. Some big surprises, some big announcements. So stay tuned.
Absolutely, stay tuned for BCW's social media pages to find out some of these announcements. Tune in to Shaw BCW. Yeah. In the meantime, you can also check us out at Shaw Wrestling on all forms of social media. If you're watching this, thank you for watching. If you're listening to us, thank you for listening. Give us comments, reviews, like, follow, subscribe on all our pages here. Yeah, that's all I have. Putty, what about you?
That's it, man. Good show. Much better than last week. Yeah, I feel better,
man.
I'm sorry for last week's lack of enthusiasm, because, again, I wasn't feeling it. Was last minute. I was sick. So for your comments, I read them. Thank you. Thank you for your input. Thank you so much.
This guy's a prick.
I can't argue that. I mean, that's every day. But as for the lack of enthusiasm, yeah, I was running on empty. So we came back today, baby, thanks to you, to my new energy drink, Ghostbusters. I don't even know the fucking name of it. But yeah, so that's it. Good show, Marcus. Can't wait for next week to go home show to WrestleMania. Can't believe we're here already. So for Mark Schwann, I've been your host at Michael J. Putty. Speedy recovery, Princess Kate. I'm thinking about you. Putty up.
Hey, baby, I hear the bell ringing, hip tosses and body slams. Oh, my.
And maybe you seem a bit confused, yeah, baby, but I got you pinned. But I don't know what to do when I see them with that golden case. They're cashing it in. Authority all in my face. What is a man to do? Good night, everybody.